8th of September, Tuesday morning. Hope you had a good day off yesterday or whatever you did with family and friends. Sometimes after a family reunion, it gives us pause to reflect, does it not? We're going over to Facebook now to try to simulcast this morning. And I have a question for you, and that is, what are our priorities and what is your priorities? What are your priorities? Now, for the child of grace, we know that God is, through His Holy Spirit, is our guide. He's our light. He's our corrector. He's our comforter. He's our mainstay. But I think it's important to examine our priorities, what we think is important. Daniel 5:27 says, we're weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Nebuchadnezzar and some of the other kings thought they had all the world in their hands. Samuel Nedu Molu, I see your comments, and you're certainly in our prayers. And as well as your parents. We are weighed in the balances and found wanting. We take a scale. Air doesn't weigh very much. A tissue doesn't weigh very much. I can put this on the scale and it will hardly move. What we put on the scales of life are important. What do you put on the scales of your life? What do you consider the most important thing on the scales of life? Your family, your friends, your job, your investments, your time on the lake. Where are our priorities? Where do we place our priorities in life? Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Well, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Daniel 5:27, 1 Samuel 2 and 3, and Luke 16:5. The Lord searcheth not, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 1 Samuel 16:7, Galatians 6:7-8. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 16:26. Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? What things were gained to me, though I counted loss for Christ? Philippians 3:2, Psalm 51:6, and Psalm 17:3, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing. Well, as I've said many times, as we get older, we tend to reflect on how we have spent our life. And sometimes we shake our heads at the priorities that we put in our life, the amount of time we've spent on fruitless activities. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. But you know what? God is the only way to truth and life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Many people spend their lives in futility. And on other things. Broken cisterns that can hold no water, Jeremiah 2:13. Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. The Lord scattered them. Genesis 4:1. Genesis 11:4-8. Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere, even as the garden of the Lord. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, Solomon certainly found out about his priorities in his latter life. He said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that all this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I made me great works. I builded my houses. I planted my vineyards. I gathered me also silver and gold. These I looked on all, and behold, all were vanity and vexation of spirit." Ecclesiastes 17 and 18, Ecclesiastes 2, 4, 8, and 11. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. Our priorities often are on the wrong things. How much idolatry is in the world? You can travel the world over, and you can see these large cathedrals with ornate architecture. Millions of dollars were put into them with granite and stone and ivory and brass and gold and silver. Huge edifices, where man went to supposedly worship their God. But Jesus said, "There's a temple made without hands." And he said he was the temple. In the United States, there are hundreds of thousands of churches, mammoth structures. And yet, is that the true worship of God, to go into those idolatrous buildings and think because of the structure and the amount of money spent on them, that brings us closer to God? I think not. We worship in a building not made with hands. Most people don't want to worship in a little tiny structure. Christ said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them." People are looking for accolades. They're looking for the honor of men. They're looking for earthly wealth and fame. Jesus Christ left the ivory palaces of heaven and came as a suffering servant to die for his people. The eternal blessings that we've been given are not gold and silver and houses and lands and cars and vacations. But the greatest blessings we've ever been given is fellowship with our Lord. And we know that when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed, it has an impact on our communion with our Lord, does it not? Look at all of the lies that have been promoted down through history. The false science, so-called, which promotes Darwin and evolution, saying things are getting better and better, and that the universe is expanding, and we can see entropy and decay by looking at ourselves in the mirror. Evolution is a lie. The earth is not evolving into something better. It will be destroyed by fire. Well, people have built their houses on sand, and the winds will come and destroy it. The wise man has built his house upon the foundation, on the rock. Jesus Christ. There is no better place to reside than in the cleft of the rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me sure. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Are you hiding in Christ? Are you hiding from Christ? Are you hiding in Christ? Are you hiding from Christ? Well, you can't hide from the Creator of the universe. All things were made by him and for him, and without him nothing consists. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He has put all things under his feet, including also the tares and the wheat. So that's what I've had on my mind this morning. Let us examine our priorities. We're eternal souls and will soon find ourselves on the other side. Christ is a forgiving God. If we pour out our hearts to him, he will have mercy upon us and grant us his peace. Sometimes it's good to reflect on what is important to us. Let us look up on things eternal, not on things on this earth. May the good Lord be with you this day is my prayer. God bless.